Good afternoon. Let me go ahead and call the study session of Monday, January 22nd to order. We have five items. First one will be the review items for tonight's city council meeting. Let's go over to page one on that. We have invocation pledge. Tom.
Mayor, the second unmarked item on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance, and I just wanted to announce today that I will not be standing for participating in the Pledge of Allegiance at any of our meetings anymore. Although I love my country and respect the flag, this is my form of protest against the continuing involvement of America in Iraq's civil war. I have my reasons, but I don't think it's an issue that requires exploration and discussion at this meeting, so I just wanted to explain why I was doing what I was doing, but I will not be participating in the pledge. Thank you.
Okay. I will be introducing or at least recognizing the Mesa LTD class of 2007. I think there's some people here this evening that are in that. Let's go on to page two. We have liquor license applications, minutes. Continuing on page three, bingo application, starting into contracts. Continuing on page four for contracts. And on page five, I have a potential conflict on 5E and 5F, and also 5H. So I'll turn those over to the Vice Mayor, and I believe, Mike, you have one on 5H also. All right. Anybody have any questions on that, Vice Mayor?
I have a question on item 5F. The bid was very favorable, and it was, which is great, but it was considerably below our estimate and also considerably below the bid of the other bidders. I just want to make sure that no concerns about performing on this one. And I don't know who I'm looking at. Keith.
Vice Mayor, we did review the bid against our estimate along with some of the other bidders. Based on a review, we think it's a good bid, and based on the contractor, he's a reputable contractor that's done quite a few jobs for Mesa, so I guess from a staff level, we're comfortable with the bid.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
That's page five. Page six, introduction of ordinances for February 5th. Continuing on page seven. Page eight, resolutions. Continuing on page nine. Yes.
Mayor, yes. On page, if we're still on page nine.
We are.
We've received, I think you all have a copy of the letter from Mr. Jones, the applicant, regarding 7K. And so we would propose that item be deleted. It appears that we've resolved the difference there.
That's not 7K.
Oh,
you're on the wrong page. We have three that we need to delete later on. But we don't want to delete that one.
I'm sorry. I'm on the introduction. I'm sorry.
Mr. Udall just had a heart attack.
Right. 7K, I know that Tom and I have conflicts on that one, so the Vice Mayor will take care of those two. All right. Should we try page 10 then? Is that... Yep. That's... Changes in parking, continuing on page 11 on that, and 12, then we get into introductions again. I believe those are... Now, these are approval of ordinances on page... what have we got, 13 there? Yeah, on the bottom of page 12, page 13, these are ordinances for approval. Let's see, 8F is off. That's a three-quarter vote requested on that one. Anything on any of those pages? Page 14, I believe, is the Riverview 8G. I believe that Tom and I also have a conflict on that one. So I'll turn 8G over to Vice Mayor. Vice Mayor.
And Mayor, on items 81B, 81C, 81D, and 81E, those have all been resolved. Those are the issues that Mr. Brady was referencing. So those can all be deleted. 81A would remain, but the others that are appeals of design review board cases are all being deleted.
We have one more rendering I see on 81B. Is there any other information or suggestions coming forward on that one? No, nope, sorry, yeah.
81A, Mayor, maybe we could give the council just an update on some, the latest drawings that we've received that you have behind you. If this is the time to do that, maybe John could walk through that real quick.
It's probably a lot easier to display them down here than it is upstairs, and we have a few minutes, so why don't we do that?
Okay, Mayor and Council, we'll direct your attention to the drawings here on the wall. And I want to point out first here on your right are the drawings that the Design Review Board had to work with and look at their hearings as they were considering this item. One of their main concerns was they weren't getting a drawing that showed all the buildings in context along McKellips to understand how they would really fit together, how that would look, would it become monotonous repetitions, how is it really built towards the corner at Falcon and McKellips. We now have received there in the middle the new drawing that we received today in color that shows the complete plan all the way across that frontage, as well as we've just received the 3D rendering of that corner. Now that staff's been able to look at this and see it with the landscaping along the buildings, we feel like many of the issues and concerns that the Design Review Board have been resolved. We still have a couple of concerns or things that we would like some consideration of. The main one being that as we move to the corner there at Falcon and McKellips, we believe it's important that the design step up to that corner and that entry into the airport. We believe there are a few more things that could be done at that corner to draw some attention to that and make it stand out a little bit more. The 3D drawing that's shown up there shows a fountain that we haven't seen before and doesn't show on any other drawings, and it's that type of thing. Addition of a fountain, a little extra height at that corner to draw a little bit more attention to it, a little bit more landscaping, kind of build that corner, some things that we think would help finalize and make this a plan that would be acceptable. We also want to be able to go back and look at the landscape plan compared to the elevation that's now been shown to make sure the plantings that are shown really match what's being shown in that, because one of the board's concerns were there were some blank spaces along those walls. The way this landscape plan has been presented, there's landscaping nicely placed there that break up those walls. We want to ensure that the landscape material that's being proposed really do that as shown in that particular illustration. So staff is largely satisfied with what we're seeing, but would like to hear what council has to say and see where we can go from here.
Okay. Could staff then handle it through the permitting process without it going back through design review?
Yes, Mayor, we believe we could. If council was comfortable approving that this evening, it would be maybe stepped to some final work with staff on those points we discussed just now.
Okay, so we basically need the applicant to think over what they might be able to do on the corner. I suggested a different type of, from my experience, I'll certainly admit that I've seen used at Gateway that really did enhance a building out there. It's just a different shape of the metal awning, but it looked more like a aviation use than following the same texture all the way down. And would the fountain then and some of the other or some enhancement there be part of what you would then stipulate too, that would be part of the final build?
Yes, Mayor. We think the fountain is a nice addition, draws a little focus and attention to that corner. In terms of the buildings themselves, we have thought that those corner elements, those towers at the corner, maybe they could be a little bit taller, a few feet taller, something, again, to kind of build that corner, draw a little bit more attention. There's some details like that we think staff could work out with the applicant, again, to emphasize that just a little bit more.
My only comment, maybe people like fountains, but there's nothing aviation related about a fountain. I'd rather have some kind of plane or some kind of model.
Sure,
or
that would be appropriate, too, but something like that. We could work with the applicant on.
Okay. I did, Gateway finally went with the bird and the plane art piece and their entryway. I've been to, I think it was Minnesota, one of the western ones, where they actually had geese in different flying positions. So I don't know maybe we can ask Tom what the bird of Arizona is that flies around airports, but to incorporate something into the
pigeon.
Yeah, the pigeon. It's not quite what I had in mind. But something, and upstairs then we'll hear from the applicant and see whether they're comfortable with that. Could they start at one end of it as they're working through? Can they start construction fairly quickly if this goes through?
I believe their plan is to start on the western side and move to the east. And so we could work with them too on that, allow them to get started with the plan review on the western buildings as we resolve the details on the eastern portion.
All right, okay. Any questions on that one? Well, we have it all up. It'll be hard to display, especially that long one upstairs, so take a look at it down here. Okay, that's, I think we're on page, did we go through it yet? Yeah, we're back, 15?
Page 15.
All right, thanks, I lost track here. All right, page 15, subdivision plats, Tom.
Mayor, on item 9, I have recently discovered that one of the owners of my company has a house that's within 300 feet of this canal bank, and I've talked to the county, or the city attorney, and we sort of concluded that that's even one step further removed as a potential conflict. I voted on this matter the first time not knowing about that location because I don't really know, I don't track down my employers to find out where they live. I don't think it's a conflict. I think Ms. Spinner probably feels it may be a little bit more than I do, but not greatly, and so I'm inclined to disclose it, but not invoke it.
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, I would agree. Under this statute, that would not constitute a conflict that would prevent you from participating or voting on the item.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. And let's see. Kyle, you had a conflict on 10A, right? Okay.
Mayor, can we, maybe we should share some information on 9, because I don't know if it's real clear in the packet. There was a discussion or an option that came up in the Transportation Committee regarding the option if we removed the lights and what that cost reduction would be.
$700,000.
I wasn't sure if all the council knew what that number was. So that is a $700,000 reduction.
From the $1.5 million project
right. Estimate. Right. I think we're saying that right. Right. Keith nodding his head. Correct.
Okay. Was asphalt in the original project estimate? The rest of it's concrete. I was curious on why we're switching over from one media to the other, and doesn't that require more upkeep and maintenance?
Mayor, originally it was proposed with concrete, but it was changed to asphalt based on some feedback from potential users of the pathway. The equestrian folks had a concern with concrete and the slipperiness of the concrete, so they preferred if there was going to be a surface on it, they'd prefer no surface, but if there was going to be a surface, they preferred the asphalt over the concrete.
This is going to sound funny. Do we have a traffic count on how many horses actually go up and down that thing?
I don't believe so, Mayor.
It is used, though?
Yes.
And somebody's ridden it at one time or another, I take it?
Yes. In the committee meeting that was held, there was a lot of people that expressed that they ride the canal path.
Right. Isn't there another trail down there that we worked on to connect some circle trail that the Boy Scouts and stuff? Yes. Isn't that built for equestrian?
It's a walking path, but it can also be used for pedestrian or equestrian.
Is that crushed granite or is that asphalt?
It's just granite.
Okay, so that would probably be the trail of choice if somebody had close enough access to it at least.
That's an option for them. That's for the area where that was built along the Thomas Road alignment west of, right. Or east of Gilbert Road and west of Lindsay.
Okay. Would the asphalt then be continued if we do an extension on this out towards Granite Reef Diversion Dam? Would that also be asphalt, or would we at some point switch back to concrete?
I think the current thinking from staff is to stay with asphalt on out.
All right. Do you get more miles than the concrete cost?
Yeah, asphalt's a little cheaper to do than concrete.
And how about the upkeep and maintenance on asphalt and the life?
Because the number of loadings on it, you know, you don't have much traffic on the canal path, and with what the section we're able to build, we feel that it'll have as long as life as concrete would.
Okay, great. Mike?
The money that we would save on this, does that have to go back to the county?
If there's ultimately savings, I guess the project has the project been bid out yet?
No.
So ultimately the $700,000 would potentially be used for any overruns or? How would that work?
The funds that would potentially be left over that would not be used by this project would have to go back and be reallocated by MAG. And so there's the potential that the city wouldn't get that money. It may go to another city in the valley as part of their closeout dollars that they do it every year.
All the regional projects are ranked by a subcommittee, so you really don't have that option to flip them into another project.
And then my further question for the city attorney, have we looked at potential liability of not lighting this pan?
Councilmember Whalen, we have just, you know, on the surface. We haven't done an in-depth. However, I know one of the options was fully lit, fully unlit, or partial. I believe we're much better off from a liability exposure standpoint with either having the entire path lit or the entire path unlit, so that there's an expectation of the individuals using the path. And my understanding now is that there will be no lighting on the path, so the pedestrians, okay. The city engineer smiling, so maybe my understanding has been incorrect.
That's what we're seeking direction from council, is the recommendation from the Transportation Committee was to delete the lighting. That's coming to full council for their consideration.
Right, and I apologize. But if there's completely unlit, then there's at least a reasonable expectation of the individuals entering the path. There's no lighting for the entire pathway, so.
But from where the previous path ends, is that lit?
Yes.
So the continuation then onto this path would be from light to dark?
Currently, there's a gap where we're doing this from McCallops back down to the crosscut canal. That section has not been done yet, so there's a gap between this section and that section. So at this point in time, staff would propose that it should be lit, and then what would be proposed if council decided to eliminate the light, we would just sign that this is an unlit and it's a dusk to dawn type use, and it's closed after hours.
How would it be closed? Would we chain it?
No, just by signage.
Okay. And signage would at least provide sufficient information to the pedestrian that there are no lights going forward.
Okay.
All right, Rex.
Glad you're up there, Keith, because the SRP engineers gave me a bit of fact I didn't understand. They clean out the canals once a year with heavy dredges or machinery and drive right along this path. So doesn't that tear up the asphalt if we use asphalt?
Mayor, Councilmember Griswold, no, we actually designed the section so it's adequate to handle that infrequent loading that would occur. The biggest potential would be that they could scar it, you know, in scraping up the debris that they pick up from the canals. But as far from a loading standpoint, the section's adequate to handle that loading.
What kind of equipment do they use when they dredge out that?
They usually use like a grade awl. It has a clam bucket on it where they bring that stuff up onto the canal bank. They let it dry out, and then they scoop it up and load it into trucks and haul it away.
So they have big tracks on it basically running?
No, most of them are rubber tired.
Okay. I thought it was big tracks, which tend to tear up things really well.
The ones I've seen SRP use are rubber tired. I'm sure if they have a big enough canal or a big enough problem that they may come in with some other piece of equipment.
Okay, thank you.
What do you do then in the gap? Is there a recommendation for that, or just the signage? It seems like to me like probably when you get to McKellips or something, you have a natural road barrier or something, that would be probably the place to switch over. But we'll look at that if we submit that project and get it. There was one other question I had. Oh, the lights in that area. Is the light problem, it would appear to me the light problem was because the canal is a little elevated over the Lehigh area, so they see up underneath the lights. So that's where they're getting the glare from. I know most of the other ones along by Hohokam and stuff are such that it's pretty much downlit onto the path, and it looks aesthetically very nice, and I like that section of area. So is that what we're running into is... because I'm getting some light complaints or potential ones.
Mayor, I think there's two issues. I think the one issue is just what you relayed there, is that the property is lower in some places along this canal, and I think there's some concern from light pollution into their backyards from these poles. These poles being proposed are about 14 foot high, so there wouldn't be a lot, but there could be some based on how low they are compared to that. The other complaint is just the light pollution in itself, even the reflection of the light off of the surface from the night sky. That area has fairly limited street lighting in most of that area. So I think the concern from the neighborhood is just light pollution in general.
Okay. check.
Mayor, we do have a short presentation if the council wanted to see it upstairs when the, when I presume there'll be plenty of speakers. Mike James can give it. And we do have three options, and that would be build the canal with no lighting, build it with the infrastructure, the conduit for it, or build the canal with both lighting and asphalt.
And if you threw the conduit in, you'd assume at some date and time that everybody's going to change their mind and want lights put in? Is that, or is that conduit so that you could pick it up at some other phase? What's the idea in the conduit?
Mayor, as the presentation will show, we when we had the Transportation Committee back in December 20th, a lot of people brought up the issue with reference to Scottsdale having some sections of their multi-use paths dark. And through our investigation, our staff has found out that of the 61 miles of bike path or multi-use path that they have, only 2 miles are dark. And as I understand it, staff's indicated to me that the neighbors in that area have now asked for that section to be lit. I think it has to do with security. So through the presentation, because of that, we're thinking that if the time does come when residents might reconsider and want lighting, we would at least have the infrastructure in to be able to input bases and poles. Just one more option there.
Is there any, not any, is there significant cost savings because the trenching goes underneath the path, or is it still next to the path anyway, so you could retrofit it if you had to?
Mayor, there's not really any significant savings by doing it now versus later. The estimated cost, we did look at that quickly to see what we thought it would put the conduit and the pole boxes in, was approximately a couple $100,000.
Okay. Scott.
If I might add, Mr. Mayor, on the other hand, we have the funding now to add that in. If we were not to add that infrastructure in, we'd have to go back through that whole process, would we not? And request it. So it might be worth actually putting in that infrastructure, not lighting it in the event that the neighbors decide they did want it lit, then at least we'd have that portion done.
Mayor, Councilmember Summers, we did ask that question if council directed staff to put the underground conduit and pole boxes in, would ADOT see that as eligible for funding as along with federal Highway Administration, and they both agreed yes.
Okay. Vice Mayor.
I think the problem you're going to have is that the neighbors are going to look at, I mean, if your decision is to not light it, then they're going to look at it and say, well, you're just waiting until we're not looking, and then you'll put the lights in. So I think you're going to be, when it's dark. That's right. Like when we go to the sun at night. Anyway, I think that that's going to be, it's going to be a trust issue.
Okay.
How are they going to see the sign at
night? Anything else on the council agenda? Let's go back then to the study session. Item number 2 is appointments to boards and committees. There is one recommendation before you.
Move for approval of Rory Gilbert. She's a good person for this position, but I want to thank Judy Tausig for her service. She has really done a fine job for the city.
Okay. Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, here reports on meetings and or conferences attended. Anyone have any updates? Kyle?
Friday morning I was out at the new Walmart at Country Club and Baseline, and they, in their store opening, have done public donation of $37,500 to various organizations and schools, YMCA, Boys and Girls Club, and they even gave our PD a couple of thousand dollars of that. So we thank Walmart for that. Saturday I went on the historic homes tour that we have each year, and it's interesting as we go into neighborhoods and how well some of these homes have been taken care of and preserved and restored. A very nice event for those who put it on and supported it. And I'll save Friday night for you, Mayor.
Okay. Well, Friday night, Kyle and I were both out welcoming the inaugural flight into Williams Gateway on Western, and also seeing the flight out. They had a turnaround and loaded passengers heading back out. So that was nice to have another airline that will be using Williams Gateway as a regular flight in and out of Mesa, Arizona. Yes.
Let me just add on to that. While we were out there, we noticed a whole slew of executive jets and that out at Williams Gateway because other airports in the valley couldn't operate and had to use instrument landing, so these corporate jets couldn't go to Scottsdale and their home port. So we had a slew of folks that had to land at Williams Gateway and buy fuel to get back out the next day. So we appreciate that business.
Yeah, it's the advantage of having an ILS runway. So.
Having the ILS runways is great. Good.
Okay. Anyone else on that one? Rex.
Also went on the historical museum and the tour there. It's a great, if you haven't been at the Mesa Historical Museum, their new exhibits are great. It tells the story of Mesa very clearly and very graphically, and I thought it was very interesting. On Friday, I attended the fundraiser for Tony Jordan. He owns Crystal's Cafe in downtown Mesa, and Leisure World raised over $30,000 for him. He's going through cancer treatments right now and has no insurance. So it shows you what Mesa can do with a great heart and private enterprise. So.
Vice Mayor.
I've been in Indiana for the last little bit. I have a new grandson who was born, so that was very exciting. But when I got back, I understand that there were snowman sightings in Mesa last night around Greenfield and McKellips and out in the area of Falcon Field. So we've had real winter visitors here.
That's true. I think we had Sasquatch or come off the plane. If I've got that, whatever, yeah, in the costume. That was cute from Washington, too. Okay, next item is scheduling of meetings and general information. Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder, our first town hall meeting will be tomorrow, District 4 at the Mesa Convention Center, the Rendezvous Center, and that will begin at 6 p.m. and go till 7:30. So we invite all of the citizens from District 4 to be in attendance at that town hall meeting. We think it'll be very informative. And our departments will be there to meet with the residents to answer their questions and take their comments. We'll be canceling the Thursday, January 25th study session, so that will be canceled. Then the next town hall meeting will be January 30th for District 3, and so we'll be having that at the Recreation Center at the Dobson Homeowners Association. They've helped to accommodate us and for the space we needed. And that'll be January 30th from 6 to 7:30 also. And then, we'll have our next study session will be Thursday, February 1st at 7:30 a.m. Mayor, we've also received the request from the Dobson Ranch HOA for the council to meet with the council once again. I know that there was a question again about whether this was going to be a meeting of the full council. Certainly, the city staff will be available to meet with the HOA. I think the question to the council was it necessary for it to be a full council meeting or what the preference of council would be as we look forward to scheduling this meeting here in the near future. So I'd like to get some feedback from council on that.
Okay. It probably pertains to all the council. I know you're busy representing your own district. Kyle, I know you have pancake breakfasts and other things that I get invitations to, but do we concentrate on our own more? Or do you want to? Dobson was one that was created when we didn't have a district system, but we've historically met with that homeowners association. So, how do you want to handle those? And if others are looking for the same, what policy do we do it case by case basis? Or just let's have a little discussion on it for about the next 5 minutes, and then we'll have to go upstairs. Vice Mayor.
Mayor, one of the concerns I had with the district system is that we would get so isolated in looking only at our own district that we wouldn't look at the city as a whole. So I have really appreciated opportunities to go to other people's districts and become acquainted with the issues that are there. I would welcome more HOAs inviting us to come and participate. I think that the thing that would probably be the most important piece of this would be if this does expand, if there are more HOAs, that we let them know that the council representative from that district will be in attendance, but other people are optional. Now, if you've got four people, you're going to have to post it, you're going to have an agenda. So I think, you know, what you'd have to know is in advance if you think you're going to have four council members there.
Sure.
Other feedback? Tom?
Yeah, to me, it's an issue of simple equity and fairness. I don't think it's right, even though it's in my district and my own homeowners association, to only have a council meeting with one HOA. If other HOAs ask and we do this for Dobson, then we ought to do it for the others. If there's a way to do it in a way that we respond, the council person who represents the area goes for sure. If two others want to come, if they get invited, they can come, that's fine. If everybody wants to come, then we just notice it. But I don't want to have a policy in place that basically says we have a full meeting for one HOA and we're not going to do the same for the others. To me, it's just a question of balancing it. So I think it's easier if we say we don't have full-blown meetings unless four council members or more say they want to come.
Okay. Other comments? Rex?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I really enjoy going to Dobson. I enjoy meeting with them and their issues, and they're a very healthy, good HOA. We have some that are not quite that, you know, strong. I think if the trouble is going to be making sure we can do RSVPs. If we, you know, all of a sudden four shows up, one's going to have to leave the room. We've done that at other meetings before. I'd rather have it posted and have a public meeting. If four of us show up, it has to be a public meeting. The minutes posted, the, you know, et cetera. So it gets a little more complex, but I think we can handle it. I think I'm looking forward to seeing some other HOA meetings in other areas.
Kyle?
I concur. I like the idea of being able to visit other HOAs, but probably if it becomes a point of maybe we do post it, but not an obligation that everybody has to be there, if it becomes too frequent or too cumbersome. Right at this point, the other one who's asked for it is the Dobson HOA, and we could readdress it later, but for now, I think it's a great opportunity to mingle with and visit with them and hear their concerns. And I understand Tom's concern for the equity and the balance on that. So I would rather wait and see how many more opportunities arise, how many would like to have a meeting with us. But for now, I'd like to leave it as is.
Okay, sounds like a good one for the committee on committees. It is disbanded. Let me see if I can catch the essence of what this. If we get other requests and there's four people that want to attend, then we get an agenda and post it as a public meeting. We probably need some type of a RSVP by a certain date so we can plan on what type of meeting it's going to be, and then we'll go in either a council meeting direction or non-council meeting. And once you didn't respond, then don't show up, because you won't be allowed in the room.
Mayor, I think that's the other thing too, is for scheduling purposes, I think there's also that logistics of if we could then just schedule the meeting, certainly with the council member from the district and maybe the mayor, and then we set that date and hopefully others can be there, and if you can, you at RSVP, let us know. But if we don't get a complete council quorum of the council, we could still go ahead and have it. We would just say that if you didn't RSVP, then if you showed up, then we would have to, it would create the complication. So we just make that clear from the very beginning. That's whatever we're told from the beginning on the RSVP, we'll just have to stick with that, if that makes sense.
And if you have a quorum, as is mentioned, you have to have a specific agenda that you stick with. If you don't have a quorum, it's a little bit easier exchange of multitude of ideas. You're not taking action on anything anyway. But you don't have a quorum there to make a suggestion for an action
item. Right. Okay.
Okay. Tom? All right. Okay. Do we have any requests to speak under pre-scheduling?
No, Mayor, we don't.
All right, then the study session is adjourned. We'll reconvene upstairs for our regular council meeting.